just like to thank the choir for that. I thought it was very moving and very thought-provoking. We read from Luke this morning the story of the parable of the rich fool. Many who hear this parable may wonder, why is the rich farmer called a fool? One could easily argue that the rich man is a wise and responsible person. He has a thriving farm in business. His land has produced so abundantly that he does not have enough storage space in his barns. So he plans to pull down these barns and build bigger ones to store all his grain and his goods. Then he will have ample savings set aside for the future, and will be all set to enjoy his golden years. Isn't this what we are encouraged to strive for? Isn't it wise and responsible to save for the future? The rich farmer would probably be a good financial advisor, I thought. He seems to have things figured out. He has worked hard and saved wisely. Now he can sit back, relax, and enjoy the fruits of his labour. Yes? Well, not exactly. There is one very important thing the rich man has not planned for. His reckoning with God. But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life is being demanded of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? Who will you leave them to?" What he was doing, really, was he was saving for the future. But the rich farmer is a fool, not because he is wealthy, or because he saves for the future, but because he appears to live only for himself. And because he believes that he can secure his life with his abundant possessions. Wrong. When the rich man talks in this parable, he talks only to himself, and the only person he refers to is himself. "What should I do, for I have no place to store my crops? I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, and be merry.' I wish." The rich man's land has produced abundantly, yet he expresses no sense of gratitude to God, or to the workers who have helped him plant and harvest this bumper crop. He has more grain and goods in storage than he can ever hope to use, yet seems to have no thought of sharing it with others, and no thought of what God might require of him. He is blind to the fact that his life will end up in someone else's hands. And as Ecclesiastes puts it, "Who knows whether they will be wise or foolish, yet they will be master of all of which I've told and used my wisdom under the sun. And this is also vanity." But for further future, for further security, a preacher would do well to name this feeling that washes over all of us who are enticed by materialism Our reality is that no matter how much we have, we are always aware of the things we don't have. We are bombarded by marketing wizards whose job is to convince us for all the products we need to complete our lives. And so we never quite feel we have had enough. But the rich farmer, and like him, we are tempted to think that having large amounts of money and possessions stored up will make us secure. Sooner or later, however, we learn that no amount of wealth or property can secure our lives. No amount of wealth can protect us from the genetically inherited diseases, for instance, or from a tragic accident. No amount of wealth can keep our relationships healthy and our families from falling apart. In fact, wealth and property can easily drive a wedge between family members, as in the case of the brothers fighting over their inheritance at the beginning of the very next text that we will read. Most importantly, no amount of wealth can secure our lives with God. In fact, Jesus repeatedly warns that wealth can get in the way of our relationship with God. Take care, he says. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. It is not that God doesn't want us to save for our retirements or future needs. It is not that God doesn't want us to eat, drink, and be merry and enjoy what God has given us. We know, for instance, from the Gospels that Jesus spent time eating and drinking with people and enjoying life. But he was also clear about where his true security laid. It is all about priorities. It is about who is truly God in the, who truly has God in their lives. It is about how we invest our lives and gifts that God has given us. It is about how our lives are fundamentally aligned towards ourselves and our passing desires. Nobody has ever expressed a word toward God's mission to bless and redeem the world. I have never heard anyone say, "I wish I hadn't given so much away. I wish I had kept more for myself." Death has a way of clarifying that reality matter. Our lives and possessions are not our own. They belong to God. We are merely stewards of them for the time being. God has given us on this earth, and we rebel against this truth because we want to be in charge of our lives and our stuff. Yes, this truth is actually good news, because all that we are and all that we have belongs to God. Our future is secure beyond all measure. So, Jesus tells us, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Amen.